Accession number 18669, Reel 3.
Donald Summerfield, Reel 3.
So when he come back to the to battalion, they put him in company headquarters.
Any other incidents that you can remember that happened to you or happened near you? You said that 355 was...
I think 355 was the biggest deal in the front line. It was massive. It was big. It was... I believe it was.
What was the worst position in the front line?
I think the Uk. The Uk was the worst.
Why was that?
Well, that was a forward position. Low and forward, you know. As I say, you can't remember everything to detail, but I think the Uk was the worst and the more dangerous position of the front line. If what we covered, you know, if like the Americans or I think the Turks was next to us once. The Australians, well, we had the Australians with us as buddies. Didn't mention that, did I? We had the odd Australians as buddies with us.
You mean as part of your battalion?
Yeah, they were. We was learning them the tricks of the trade, sort of thing. We called them our buddies, and then they introduced South Korean. South Korean army boys, we had two. They was our buddies. We had one to a, we was detail one. I think we had one to a section, in a platoon. And I think there was three sections in a platoon. So we had three Korean buddies with us as well.
Impression did these Koreans and Australians make on you?
Well, of course, you know. I mean, we were young men, but we had to learn, and we knew the trade, and you had to tell them the trade. If they didn't like it, well, that was up to them, because most of the Aussies was like dads to us, because I mean, we was 19 years old, and the old Aussies was a little bit older. I mean, and some of them were ex Brits, you know, and they were good lot, but they some of them didn't like to be told. The South Korean, some were very hard to communicate with. Some were very crafty, and some were brilliant. And I was lucky to have a Lee. His name was Lee. He was a brilliant chap. He was a little bit educated as well, and he was a great lad. He was. He was a good soldier. You know, he was. He understood, and he'd take all. He knew that you had to learn him the things, and he'd learn them. He'd learn them, and he was good. I was lucky, but some of them they're very hard to get into. Whether they was doing it deliberately or not, we'd never know. But you know, being a bit stubborn and saying, well, I don't know, and things, but, you know, you just had to learn them to best your ability. And that was it. There was extra men for you as well, so you had to teach them something, as it was a waste of time being with you. But I can tell you a little story about the Australia, which made me a bit mad. We went to a position... with some of the battalions, I'm not going to say who they. I don't think they were British, but we went to this position and there was a lot of ammunition and detonators about. And I did say to this Australian, "You mustn't touch them detonators, because if you touch them and close them, they'll go off. Well, we try to clear them up as best we can. And I explained to these Aussies that, I mean, I was only a fusilier, I never had no authority, but I mean, I had to tell them for their own good. And the next minute, I heard this loud bang. Someone shouted for me, and I come out of the bunker, and this Australian, he'd only gone and picked up a detonator and nearly blew half his hand off. So the only thing I could do is close it up and pad it up and send him back to. But, you know, these are the things that you had to learn, Pete, the other. But if they don't want to be told, that's what they ended up as. So you could be wounded without being shot at.
Were you wounded in Korea?
No. Lucky, very lucky.
What did you think of the enemy?
Well, you got to hate them, really, to fight them, but they were very clever. Very clever fight. They were very, very clever. I thought so, in my opinion. And one thing puzzled me is how they, for the amount the amount of people or soldiers were there, is they never showed themselves, if you understand what I mean. Because when the truce comes, which we was up in the line at the time, thousands appeared from nowhere. And yet, when you was fighting them, if you went out on a patrol and that, you had a job to find them, if you can understand, until they made one of their big attacks, and then that they were there, if you can understand what I'm talking about. But if you went out to find them, or find where they was hiding, or their idea of, like, we had bunkers, you couldn't find them. And yet, when the truce come, they were, you looked at the hills, and there they were, thousands of them. Just like the Indians approaching in a film, like, it was marvellous. It puzzled me to think that, well, I've been out there, and I couldn't find you at times. Or if you bumped them, you just bumped a patrol like you were in, which was lucky for you, really, because there were so many of them. And yet when the truce comes, they all appeared on the hills. It was marvellous, you know, to... Why they... But I say, on these big attacks, that's where you used to find where they were. But when they went back to their positions, they sort of... I always stated that they had tunnels. I'm sure they had tunnels, because they used to bombard them and that, and they still come back up. I mean, so that's what I always thought. We used to wonder where they were and that, and I used to say to the boys, I'm sure they got tunnels in the hills. Whether they did, I don't know.
But did the British troops ever have tunnels?
No, well, no. We had bunkers and trenches, but which protect us. I mean, a bunker. If you've done a bunker strong enough, you got protection from shells and that. And but lucky enough, they never had nothing powerful enough to do more damage than like the Americans had. You see, so we was lucky in that respect.
You said you weren't wounded in Korea, but did you fall sick at all?
No, I was lucky enough. I don't remember. No, I don't think I went sick. Not in Korea. I had dysentery in Egypt, but I didn't. I was all right in Korea. And we did have we went for leave in Tokyo. Had a nice leave in 7 days leave in Tokyo.
What happened on the leave?
Oh, lovely. We flew over. And we went to, I can't remember where it was, we went over in Dakota, the old Dakotas, which I wasn't very happy in, but they rattled a bit. But we arrived at a destination, but and we went overnight. We arrived at a leave camp, and we went overnight to Tokyo on a night train, which was, you know, experience for me, which I would never have done in unless I was in the army then. And we went to a leave camp in Tokyo for five days and nights, which was quite nice. You had the entertainment, and you went out the daytime in around Tokyo and things like that.
What entertainment did you have?
Well, music and right bars, you know, the drinks, and same as on in Tokyo. I think there was a place where we used to go. It was called the Maple Leaf. That must have been a Canadian club. And that was our destination. We used to go out most nights and have a meal and that and walk around, and we used to finish up at I always remember it was called the Maple Leaf. That was Canadian's club. It was quite nice. Of course, we couldn't afford too much because we never had the money. You know, like the Americans, but we enjoyed ourselves, and then we went back to Korea, went straight in the line, back in the front line again. Always remember that. And carried on.
Were you surprised when the ceasefire came?
Well, we were told that it might be coming, It was a surprise, and it wasn't. But at the same time, we was glad. We was glad because it was a war. I mean, we was only kids, really. We was only 19, because you weren't allowed in Korea until you was 19. And we was glad because I think it was wearing a few of us down a bit, you know. And but that time that the truce come, the position that was the best position we ever had in the line, the easiest one. I can't remember what they called it, but and it was the best time that I could have some sleep, which I did. I can remember that. I think I was having a little sleep when the truce come, but. Very glad.
What was the worst aspect of serving in Korea as far as you were concerned?
Well, the weather. Well, the winter. That was the worst. The winter. Do you mean in weather ways or
fighting? Anything.
Yeah, well, the weather. Yes, it was very, very cold. Very cold. Right, I don't think there was so much action going on, but whenever it did, it was trying to keep warm to perform your duties, if you can understand what I'm talking about. And it was very cold. If the gun freeze up or your hands was you couldn't, you know, frozen, and it was very cold. But they introduced a little thing. A tot of rum, which was only a tot, but it did keep you going. Used to have, as far as I can remember, we used to have it was measured nightly. A measured tot of rum nightly. That was to keep us going. Which, if it weren't for that, I don't think we could have done.
You mean you didn't get the tot of rum at first? But
no, when the really raw cold come in, we was issued with a tot of rum, and it was accepted with open arms. That was.
What time of the night did you get that?
Just before you just before you stand to, when it when you stood to of a night, or I think it was either that or when you stood down. It might when you stood down in the morning, because you stand to. No, it wouldn't be standing to. It'd be standing down when you stood down. You should have a little thing.
Was it intoxicating?
Aye. No, you didn't have enough to do any damage. As far as I can remember, it warmed all your body up, and that's what you wanted, and that's what you know. But it wasn't you didn't have enough to do any damage to you. You know, getting drunk or anything. It was kept very safe.
Yeah. So. Who administered the
I think
toss?
If as far as went, the sergeant, or as far as I can remember, either the sergeant or the officer. It's a job to know a lot. I can't remember certainly.
And you had to drink it there and then?
Yeah, straight, drink it straight down.
You couldn't save it?
No, couldn't save it. But I think I had a little bit extra on that night, the truce come.
Any other incidents you couldn't recollect that you've missed out?
Well, there's several, but you know, they're only sort of what you perform. Anybody performs in their duty, you know, what like in patrols and things like that. I don't think there's anything special. I think that the worst patrol I ever went on, well, the most dangerous, although we never bumped the enemy, was that Christmas Eve. Well, it's Christmas night. It was Christmas Day when we come back. It wasn't the fault of bumping the enemy. It was the fault of it was Christmas Eve, you know, and it could have been a bad Christmas Eve. It wasn't frightening because you couldn't be frightened. You wasn't frightened because you knew you had to do a duty and that was it. You was there. It don't matter. You couldn't be frightened because you had to do it. If you was frightened, you couldn't do it. And but it was the. I think it was the thought of it being Christmas. And the conditions. It was raw. It was really raw. I'll never forget that night. Couldn't hardly walk. The time we come back, I don't think I could have fired my rifle because my hands, and I think the rifles were freezing up. So that was the most frightening, knowing that if you'd have bumped anybody, you couldn't have fired your rifle because it was frozen. I'm sure my rifle was frozen that night. I know I was. But and I think that's when we went back and they gave us a tot of rum then. They had to, I think, because we were so cold. But that was the most frightening time, although, as I say, we never contacted the enemy that night.
Did you ever go out on a fighting patrol?
Yes, yeah, several. There is one big one I remember, and that was... funny enough, that was a big fighting patrol, and that was see the what was happening. These ridges, you know what hills are like. They all got ridges coming down from them, and you either went up or down them because that was the only way to do it. But there was this ridge and. Out of the view of our position sites of our position, there was a cave, and apparently, a patrol, or one of our patrols, had noticed that the enemy was congregating in this cave and attacking us from this cave. So they decided to blow it up, and the assault pioneers. So we went out on this fighting patrol, and I was one of the ones that had to go. I don't know why they picked on me. I think I took my I don't know if I took any. I don't know if I took a stretcher out with me. I think I did. I know I took. I know I took my satchel, my medical satchel. But I had to go. There was not only me. There was two or three of us. We had to go in advance with these assault pioneers, with the patrol, the rest of the patrol behind us. So when we got down to this ridge, the assault pioneers, while they was laying their detonators and whatever, it was me, I think there was only two or three of us, we had to sort of protect them. We had a lay up to protect them in case the enemy come while they was doing that. And the rest of the patrol was spread out behind. I believe I took a stretcher on that call, on that patrol. Anyhow, what happened then? That was a frightening experience. But as luck would happen, the enemy wasn't about. If they were, they got blown up because they blew the cave up. They blew it up, and then we, we stopped about for whatever we did in them. I can't remember all. And eventually we retired to our position, but we never bumped the enemy that night. But that would have been a big one because we had a big patrol out with us. But I used to seem to be getting, I used to take things into my stride. I knew in my mind that you had to do the job. So what's the good of messing about, And I'd done it, and the time went and. As luck happened, I come out in one piece, and that was it. I never regret that. I'm glad I did go because it was an experience in my life, and I enjoyed my service in the army, and I would have made it my career, but I had a lovely mother that wanted me to come home, and that was it. So, or else I would have signed on, in the army. I would have stopped in the army for longer.